Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 9th on the West Coast, now August the 10th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We're happy to have you with us, and we also want to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. I think we're going to have a very interesting show this evening. One reason is there's been a lot of very rapidly developing news coming out on a variety of fronts. And rather than do a monologue, I'm going to bring tonight's guest right on board so he can participate in this discussion right from the top of the show. Make the most of the time. He is an author. He is somewhat of a lecturer. He's posted some documentaries on YouTube. And his information about health issues is bar none the best in the whole world. And he is also a talk show host, hosts his own show, which is called The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Fridays on the Micro Effect Network. Yeah, my good friend and our now regular Monday night guest, Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Oh, greetings again, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show tonight. We're just stirring up the airwaves. I'm feeling pretty good about things now that I've got a friend who gave me a little gizmo gadget. It's a little online, I don't know what it is. It's kind of a degausser or a bug or something on my DSL line, and my golly, it's just really made a difference in my shows and my telephone lines. And he says that the people of the NSA at the top are pretty unhappy about this little thing. They can't knock off the line for some reason. I don't know how it works. I just know that it's pretty fun.
Well, that's good. You sound really clear. So
yeah, it's been great. I've had this on all of my lines and been, whereas I was always having echoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you hear, you know, shifts in the frequency of the stream and you lose all of your bandwidth and, you know, you sound like you're going through a phase shifter chorus and a digital delay at the same time, right?
Exactly, yeah. So for a little while, until I figure out how to get rid of this one, so I'm kind of enjoying the shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been doing some great work, and obviously your work's gotten a lot of attention. There have been some rather strange stories that have come out recently, and I have to tell you and the listening audience that I mentioned this on past shows this past week, if I use my intuition and I read a particular story about such and such a journalist having passed on, maybe possibly have been murdered. I mean, that's always a possibility. It's happened for many, many years all over the world. Certain truths are not supposed to get out. And I think things are changing where everybody's getting in on the act. Non-journalists, regular people out there who are listening to what we're saying, and they're giving us the benefit of the doubt and doing their own research and finding out that we're telling them the truth. But these things add up and they make sense, even though it all smacks of insanity in one mm-hmm. sense. You know, mm-hmm. it's destructive, and you ask yourself, why would anyone want to destroy something they spent so much time building? And I guess they feel that our knowing this is a threat. Not only our knowing this, but our awakening, coming to our higher gifts, our God-given gifts. And that is really threatening to them. So they will go to all kinds of extremes. But I think two individuals who are alleged to have recently passed away may still be alive. And this is a stretch for a lot of people because they've read so many articles about these people's passing that to bring a new argument forth just seems to want to attack the media, you know, even if it's the alternative media. But you have to consider who puts these stories out in the first place. And maybe having some personal experience with at least one of these individuals on some level to know that this person wasn't all that he maybe was perceived to be by a lot of people. And through my experience and the experience of a few other people I know, we came to some conclusions that we might be onto something. And in light of this story of this particular journalist passing on, no one would consider that. Everybody takes the story. Why? Because it was posted on his website. And I understand that a prior story that he had done prior to his alleged demise was taken off of his website, that it was even attributed to another person. Now, there's actually three things going on, and I know I'm speaking sort of cryptically right now, but I want to start with some of the most recent news, and that is the fact that Matthew Simmons, an energy expert, somebody who was an international oil expert and an investment banker from the state of Maine, who founded the Ocean Energy Institute in 2007, allegedly had a heart attack and died in his hot tub. Now, sometime, and it was announced in the first article that came out that he was actually going to undergo an autopsy, and that autopsy hadn't yet occurred. And about 2 or 3 hours later, there was an update to the story that it had been determined that he drowned. Now, we have two conflicting stories with this case, and my intuition tells me he's not gone, that he was heavily invested and had received millions of dollars in loans from the federal government to develop wind turbine technologies. So he was basically in the same position that BP would be in should they go and approve cap and trade and this becomes a reality. And you've exposed what that's all about. So this is explaining why certain people have come forth in respect to this Gulf of Mexico incident and BP and all the cover-up and everything, and basically say, well, they're destroying the ocean with the core exit. Doesn't matter. They're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's his position, and that gives everyone the feeling, see, here's somebody telling us what's really going on. Okay? You know, one could say I'm speculating, but my intuition tells me I'm right on the money. Now, this came after Christopher Story, the publisher-editor of the International Currency Review and a host of other publications at worldreports.org. And I think I would be accurate in saying that I also discern that Christopher Story was working for a British intelligence agency. But when he denied working for MI6, he was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was higher than that, and I think they just had him step aside because they feel they've achieved their objective. They've sufficiently destroyed the world economy, especially the economy in the United States, and they have sufficiently set up the pretext for cap and trade, which we know is a gigantic Ponzi scheme. That's the biggest one ever on the planet right there. I don't think either one of these gentlemen are deceased. I'll admit I could be wrong, but my discernment, my intuition tells me that I'm not. Your thoughts on this, without thinking I'm insane.
Well, nothing surprises me at all, Don. The theme of my show tonight and last week and the continuing on was just going to be exposing the House of Rothschild, the going into their symbolism of the hexagram and literally the motto that Rothschild puts out, and it's the motto of the Mossad: by means of deception, thou shalt wage war. I mean, that's their motto, and that's, I think it could be said, that's the motto of the House of Rothschild. Nothing is as it seems, very much so. You have to go and dig deeper and see the story behind the story, so to speak. And so when you intuitively feel like this is a front, could very well be. Especially since, like you said, you have Len Horowitz now coming out and saying he feels like he's being framed for Chris Story's death. What's that all about? Why? How is Story and Horowitz tied together?
Well, I find that rather interesting that you would say that, because Christopher Story implied that I might have had something to do with Don Harkin's passing. And I shared,
really?
I shared this with a few people. Ingrid knows about this. Okay? And I think this is to discredit those that are really discovering the truth and putting it out there.
Wow.
Like yourself, like Dr. Horowitz, and many others. We're not alone. I have certain personal feelings about this because I followed Story's research. I had most of his articles posted on my site, but there were a couple of things that bothered me, like in the Wantagate story. And I had discovered some things, and I was convinced I was right. And in the end, I was. In the end, basically, Wanta shafted Chris Story, a.k.a. Edward Harrell, or Harley. Now, if I were to go into that, we could do 2 hours, 3 hours of a show. But I can tell you that even the Wanta story, as far as who the man is obfuscated, but not impossible to deduce where this connects and to what it connects with. Pretty interesting stuff. And actually, had this story about Christopher Story not come out, I may not have even gone down that rabbit hole to look something up. But I was able to determine that Wanta is not who we're told he is by name, and that I can actually identify him in a very uncanny way and credit some journalism on a particular website to him or to his operation. You're talking about espionage of the highest order, double crosses, double, triple agents, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Basically, they're trying to destroy the alternative truth movement, which is, by the way, universal. The alternative happens to be universal. So it's not as puny as they would want us to think. I mean, we have God on our side. We have the truth on our side. And it seems like everything around them is falling apart.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we're trying to do it the right way and just expose this mess. It is amazing, Don, what's going on with these stories. They don't make a lot of sense sometimes. I was going to get into this on my show tonight, but I kind of want to change gears a little bit and tie it back in, because I think there's a huge connection here with the Simmons and story.
Mm-hmm.
story. I just got turned on to this story. A gentleman emailed me, and I went and pulled it. It's an article that was written put in a magazine. It was also posted on the internet back on March 7th of 2005. This is and the author is a woman by the name of Lisa Pinsker. It was posted in the Geo Times publication, Petroleum Geology. So it's basically, get this, part of the contributing editor or contributing scientist to this Geo Times is none other than Matt Simmons. Okay.
Very interesting.
It is. Well, here is the title of the article. Astonishing amount of oil and gas off Louisiana. It's raining hydrocarbons in the Gulf. 3-7 of 05. The story is amazing for a number of reasons, because it just gives verification what I've been saying as well. Either BP is full of bullpucky on their lion, or this Lisa Pinsker is full of BP. Okay. I'll just go ahead and read the highlights.
Be my guest. You're being cute. So.
Below the Gulf of Mexico, she writes, hydrocarbons flow upward through an intricate network of conduits and reservoirs. They start in thin layers of source rock, and from there buoyantly rise to the surface. On their way up, the hydrocarbons collect in little rivulets and create temporary pockets like rain filling up a pond. Eventually, most escape to the ocean. And this is all happening now, not millions and millions of years ago, says Larry Caffles, a chemical geologist at Cornell University. Cathal says, quote, we're dealing with this giant flow-through system where the hydrocarbons are generating now, moving through the overlying strata now, building the reservoirs now, and spilling out into the ocean now. Isn't this amazing? It's basically following up on the abiotic oil generation.
Isn't that what we've been saying from the beginning of this saga?
Yeah. Cathals is bringing this new view of an active hydrocarbon cycle to the industry, hoping it will lead to larger oil and gas discoveries. By matching the chemical signatures of the oil and gas with geologic models for the structures below the seafloor, petroleum geologists could easily tap into reservoirs 10 times larger than the North Sea, says Cathals, who presented his findings publicly at the meeting of the American Chemical Society in New Orleans on March 27th. This canvas image of the study area shows the top of salt surface, salt domes or spikes, in the Gas Research Institute study area, and four areas of detailed study stratigraphic layers. The oil fields seen here are Tiger Shoals, South Marsh Island number 9, SMI-9, the South Eugene Island Block 330 area, and Green Canyon, so-called 184 area, the Joliet Reservoirs. Now, get this. Caffles and his team estimate that in their study area of about 9,600 square miles off the coast of Louisiana, source rocks a dozen kilometers down have generated as much as 184 billion tons of oil and gas, about 1,000 billion barrels of oil and gas equivalent. 1,000 billion barrels. Isn't that 1 trillion barrels of oil and gas equivalent? And it's generated it in just a few years.
Well, it sounds like peak oil to me.
Oh, yeah. That's 30% more than we humans have consumed over the entire petroleum era, Caffel said. And that's just this one little postage stamp area. This is going on worldwide, he says. And there's a lot of hydrocarbons venting out, end quote. According to a 2000 assessment from the Minerals Management Service, MMS, the mean undiscovered conventionally recoverable resource in the Gulf of Mexico offshore, continental shelf, are 71 billion barrels of oil equivalent. Think about it.
Do you suppose they hit the Deepwater Horizon platform intentionally to drill deeper?
I think that's all bogus. I think the whole thing is a scam. I think it's all set to create a shutdown of the Gulf resource, to do two things. Keep the oil price artificially high, first of all. Second, I think it's all about getting away to in the cap and trade where they can make untold trillions and get more power and control over people's lives, which is really what they're all about. It makes complete and total sense to me, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in light of this article. It also said, of that huge resource of naturally generated hydrocarbons, I like that, naturally generated hydrocarbons, Cathal says, more than 70% have made their way upward through the vast network of streams and ponds, venting into the ocean at a rate of 1 ton per year. The escaped hydrocarbons, he shows, become food for bacteria in the warm waters of the Gulf, helping to fuel the oceanic food web. And he graphs this food web. He shows that the richest plankton blooms, the richest life forms, are the ones where this oil vents from the oil on the bottom. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
He says another 10% of the Gulf's total hydrocarbons are hidden in the subsurface, representing about 60 billion barrels of oil and 374 trillion cubic feet of methane gas that could easily be extracted without deep drilling.
Well, you know, in light of what you just said, too, I might refresh. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I went back and I looked at BP's original announcement and other media announcements of the depth of the well that they've been saying is 5,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
They published that they drilled the well begins, let's say, at 4,129 feet. That's their original statement on September 1st of 2009. They announced then that there were 3 billion barrels of oil that they expected to get out of that well, which is a joke, actually. And then they, I would say, in the next 4 to 6 weeks, they changed the amount to anywhere from 4 to 6 billion barrels of oil, which still is nothing. And I said that, basically, and I'm incorporating my thoughts on that whole issue because I'm showing the actual paper trail of this whole thing. Everything they did to put up smoke and mirrors so certain companies would take big hits on these put options. That's part of the game they played. And I'm going to prove that all the people involved were all working for Goldman Sachs and BP at the same time. But they were working for an international conglomerate that basically is behind the scenes. It's very, very compelling. So I thought I would share that with you in light of what you're saying. They're ridiculously low amounts is what I'm saying that they originally published. But why the shift from 4,129 feet to 5,000 feet? That's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, at the other 5,000-foot depth, again, the oil will not be able to come to the surface by all models. Now, is it really 5,000 feet deep there? That's the other question. We don't know. We're just having to take BP's word for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm taking their published statement about how far they went down. Not the media, not mainstream media like we're getting right now, which has been nothing but spin and lie upon lie. Mm-hmm. See, it makes Matthew Simmons look like he was a good guy, like he was telling the truth, and because most people would think, oh, this is too coincidental. You know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, and it's not out of any disrespect to the dead, anything like that. But my intuition tells me he's not dead. So where's the sin there? And likewise, I feel the same for Mr. Story. Now, to make that claim and to blame Len Horowitz somehow for being responsible for Christopher Story's murder is insane.
Well,
if I'm right.
He said there was a brief illness and he died. So how was he murdered?
Well, there was another story that he was shot out in plain daylight on the sidewalk, walking down the street from his office. So which story are you going to believe?
Huh. I don't know.
I haven't read all of Dr. Horowitz and Sherry Kane's story on this, but very interested in seeing what they uncovered. And I suspect that there's going to be a few toes stepped on. What say you on that?
Well, I don't even want to even go there with them. Frankly, there's too much being bandied about that doesn't make sense. And we discussed this last week. Things I said privately in an email concerning the Knight of Malta, the Knight Hospitalier structure of Horowitz, I have reason to believe that, you know, that's suspect. I mean, you just, you know, Don, I'm as deep into the natural health movement, honestly, as anybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody come and give me a knighthood?
That's, I don't know.
You wouldn't if you're truly in it. But if you're, frankly, I'm just going to say this on the record. And somebody has some explaining to do. Horowitz has some explaining to do. And, you know, that's all there is to it. I mean, you just don't come and get a knighthood unless you're doing some double agency. It would seem to me. You got Hal Turner syndrome, okay? Did Hal Turner put out some truth? Yeah. Did he do some outright blatant lies as a shock jock? Yeah. Did he get arrested for making some very dangerous threats? Yeah. Was the FBI paid and, you know, to do the job? Yeah. So, you know, this whole thing, Don, I think you're right on point that it's a plan just to get the truth tellers to really get, you know, get sideswiped and lose focus.
Turn on each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have time for that.
You know, my feelings are the same way. It's ridiculous. And I can tell you that in an email, and I'll tell the listeners again, you know, Christopher Story implied in a very roundabout way that I had something to do with Don Harkin's murder. And Ingrid Castle, his widow, says that she knows that Don was murdered. And there was too much evidence there, physical evidence, to discredit that thought that he had, that conviction. And he knew he was dying, and he knew it wasn't by natural causes. And Ingrid knows that as well. So,
exactly. Well, we all there was just so much going on there that didn't make sense. And yeah, and then, you know, you get the people like Edgar Steele who you know are arrested and held, and then you got Mr. Zundel, and that whole story that he published after being, you know, arrested and put into, you know, into a decade of hell. And he says in his interview that Ernst Sundell, he says that it was the his dissemination and research on Don Harkin's paper on the 9/11 that caused him to really be arrested. So if they do that just from him taking, you know, the Citizens Commission on 9/11, what do you think they would do to Don Harkin, the author of it?
Yeah. Well, what do I say? At this point, I think it's time for people just to start discerning what's going on. These things are seem to always just keep erupting out of nowhere by design. And you know, I'm not privy to all the things that started this whole mess in the first place, other than someone was making accusations of some sort, and then it mushroomed into a full-fledged investigation. Now, I haven't read everything, so I can't really comment on it a whole lot, you know. But I will take a very close look at it, and I will use my own discernment, too. There seems to be a lot of backstabbing going on amongst people who, you know, at one time or another profess to be friends. But then again, as time goes on and the truth gets revealed, you see who some of these people really are. The one's research should stand on its own two feet as much as possible. I mean, you know, you're dealing with stuff where you have to draw conclusions from the factual basis that supports the rest of your research. If you're going to deduce that something probably is, you have to really be detailed with the facts to support that. And often, discovering two facts about one situation leads to more branches. And those branches bear leaves. And the information keeps coming. It's not by accident that it's of the same color and the same character as you move on. Whether it's a person or it's a situation, a thing, or some event that transpired. We all need to be really using our discernment when a lot of these stories come out. Because here, someone could be actually blamed for something that didn't even occur. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not taking sides. This is what my intuition is telling me. We've been lied to about everything. And there's no reason for people to start telling the truth when all they've been doing is lying to the whole world. For how long? You mentioned the Rothschilds. By year, when did all this start?
Well, with that specific family, you know, clear back in the Revolutionary War period. I mean, when they conspired to bring the House of the Hessians, the Germans, into the British Crown and onwards from there. I mean, it's just the lies began right with the ceasefire of the Constitutional Republic. I mean, you've got here's what people don't realize, Don, and yet it's factual. If you dig deep enough, you prove it. How can you win a war and then agree in treaty to pay the loser war reparations? Mm-hmm. Do you realize that the American colonies agreed in the Treaty of Paris to pay the British city of London the cost of reparations for all the dead Hessian mercenary soldiers? I mean, that's just one example that we really didn't win anything. We just negotiated a ceasefire and went on with trade as usual and paid for the damages.
Yeah, but they gave us the story that we did win.
Yeah.
that we overcame, and we had independence.
Yeah, Cornwallis got cornered, but you know, and he had to surrender. But there were other generals, there were other, you know, armies. They didn't, you know, it just became too prolonged, so they basically had to work out a ceasefire. I mean, it's just incredible. The real war that was won by the British and put us back to complete colonial status is the War of 1812.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the powers that be refused to renew the Bank of England Charter that was started by Alexander Hamilton. So, you know, the quotes, and I gave this all on my timeline, Don. Rothschild, Amschel, Mayor Rothschild just demanded them that the colonies, well, the states, be brought back to colonial status, and that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened.
Yeah, and we have this in our earlier history, too. The Virginia Company and the New England Company by the Pazers, who were the George Pazer came here and changed his name to George Bayshore. He was the French paymaster under George III. And Louis Cass Pazer, who was in line for the throne after George III, basically just set up shop, and they began building the railroads. And with the clearance, they took up all the land for the railroads with 100 feet on each side of the rails as well. So there are people's houses that are actually built on railroad land and don't know it. You know, this has been going on for a long time. But George Pazer became George Bayshore, and he settled in North Carolina. Louis was up, I believe it was Massachusetts, Virginia and up to Massachusetts. You can presume they were already setting up Wall Street at that time. Just took time to conceive how they were going to do it, how were they were going to get somebody else to pay for it. And much of my research into these infiltrators in our government intersects with all of that. You know, it's not by accident. It's not by accident.
Well, I've also been doing a little research into the Bakken oil formation and in Montana and the Dakotas and part of Colorado. This is mostly on public lands, Don. I don't know if you realize that, but the strata, the mapping of the Bakken oil fields is equal to what they're finding at the Gulf of Mexico. Now, if this is on public lands, and there's trillions of barrels of abiotic oil being generated, the question becomes, why isn't it being tapped? First question. Second question, if it's not private but public, why isn't this incredible wealth shared with all of the citizens of America? And I'm talking natural-born paper citizens, not illegals now.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's. it seems like Corexit 9500 has become the wizard's veil, if you get my meaning. When you mention Colorado, are you speaking of the Green River find, which is something?
Well, it's all part of that Bakken. That's got the Bakken oil formation. If you Google up Bakken, B-A-K-K-E-N.
Yes.
Oil formation, and even Wikipedia has this history, but it's way, way, way bigger than that. Okay, if you go beyond the story, you see that it's massive, massive reservoirs. It's clearly bigger than all the Middle East.
Yeah, well, I hear that the, I guess it would be the eastern, southeastern portion of that field is shale oil to the tune of about 2 trillion barrels worth. That would have to be extracted using a different process, but nonetheless, 2 trillion barrels?
And that's just a small, small tip of the iceberg of the whole thing, Don, if you really start digging.
Yeah.
You've got different shale structures, but you've got reservoirs they've identified. And again, it goes back to the abiotic oil. So you look at the back and find, you look at what has not been drilled there. Look at, again, the story I just quoted you on the true volume of the Gulf of Mexico oil and the fact that it's not peak oil. It's, you know, which is the peak oil theory. They say it's truth, a lie. Read when their lips are moving, you know they're lying. Peak oil, you know, there's no such thing, ladies and gentlemen. We've got so much oil, it ought to be 25 cents a gallon again. I mean, it really should. So they got to artificially keep it buoyed up. That's the reality. That's the truth. And they've done this since oil first began being pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back to the Baku oil fields there in Uzbekistan, and you see that, you know, Azerbaijan is what where it is. That was one of, you know, it's still there. That oil in Baku is still under the surface. 1873, the Nobel Brothers of Sweden began to pump that out, but and this is the Nobel Prize, you know, family, Nobel Brothers. But the, you know, the Rockefeller Standard Oil came in and basically wiped it out. It was the only real competing oil field for their, you know, monopoly structure, and you see it being sitting there fallow right now. And it goes on and on and on and on. They'll develop the oil fields where they need to basically enrich Israel in that region. Okay. So,
yeah, there's obviously a shell game going on. No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. Shell, shell, shell. So, I mean, that's what we're saying the whole time. This Deepwater Horizon was a false flag. No doubt about it. The manipulation, you know, if you look closely, as we've reported many times, the infrastructure for the oil and gas portion of British Petroleum was moved around and divested of the corporate shell. It was moved over into Russia. They had joint ventures in Russia. And that's where you see Hayward going now. Tony Hayward, he wants his life back, so he's being transferred to head up the joint venture in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Is that TNKBP and maybe the Alpha Group?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, there was a story, I don't know if you heard about this. They sent some New Orleans Saints football players to the White House very recently with a 30-foot-long po' boy sandwich. Po' boy is how they say it down there, sort of, I guess. And it had Gulf of Mexico seafood on it. Now, do you mean to tell me that they took that Corex at 9500 soaked seafood in a sandwich up there? I mean, who are they trying to fool? And since when are professional football players experts in the quality and the safety of seafood soaking in all kinds of benzene and chemicals?
I hope the chief executive, long-legged, short-legged Mac Daddy, took a big helping.
I don't know if he was even there. It sounded like he may have been on the way to his G20 meeting.
Ah, well, maybe they saved some for him. Maybe it's in a, because he's a po' boy. He'd like to eat that po' boy sandwich. You know, give him a little bit. Save him a big chunk with Michelle. have a shell game with Michelle. How's that?
Well, I just find it a rather pathetic public relations spoof, if you want to call it that. Don't you? Or am I?
Absolutely. You know, it's but then how much is really, you know, I think most of this Corexit poisoning is what's happening. The oil itself is disappeared. Well, that's what we've been saying. I don't believe it was ever designed, you know, to really be the disastrous claim, especially in light of this article I just read to you, first published in 2003, ladies and gentlemen. They show, I mean, I pulled the maps and the charts where this oil comes to, you know, from 1,000 feet down, and as some bubbles up to the surface. Well, that's the richest flow, they say, of life forms, starting with the plankton and the microscopic bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's the life cycle of the ocean. How much life, you know. That's huge. That's a huge, huge revelation in light of what we want to believe about this gusher at the bottom 5,000 feet.
Now, the recent video, have you seen the video of the floor, ocean floor rising and then dropping all of a sudden? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen any of that, no.
There is a YouTube video of this, and it seems to be pretty serious in terms of analysis. And there's a guy looking at documents and you know, stressing that they shut down the deep water well A on April 15th of 2009, and then they shut down well B on April 15th of 2010. Now that would be the day after that memo went out, that Eurex document.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the timing is kind of interesting, and they allegedly had in their plan, this is in their lease and their permits and all of this stuff, they're saying that they're going to run the well for 100 days, and then they're going to basically turn off the spigot. And so where would the oil be coming from if they actually did that? It would have been impossible for it to have leaked out of either one of those wells unless there's something else going on, like fracturing, for instance. It's quite possible that they caused the stress that produced such fracturing, and they're trying to contain it because it could be much, much worse than it is. I think they wanted to determine how much oil there was there and then plug it up. Basically.
And not only that, but keep it capped.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Keep everything capped.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Regardless of, you know, who thinks what happened, I mean, we have video evidence that is absolutely impossible for the sky and a reflection on the ground to be a camera, or on the ocean to be a camera anomaly. Impossible. Not to have the rest of the reflection of the picture. It wasn't just the beam that was coming down from space hitting the platform. There was a line running sort of up to the boat. Now you could say, well, that's the camera. No, they just happened to be in line with that reflection. But you can see the well and the platform reflecting in the water too. No one mentions that. Now, is that a camera anomaly also?
I don't know.
Okay. And the reflection is a different color in for the whole picture. What you look at when you look straight at the platform is brighter and more distinct than if you look at the reflection in the water. Everything is equally reduced in clarity and focal point. And lighting, for that matter, because it's further away from the source of the light. including that beam. Now, if it's a camera anomaly, that anomaly is not going to be in the reflection and act the same way. It's going to be a continuous anomaly from top to bottom. It's not that way. From the platform to the boat these fishermen were in is a different hue, a different level of saturation and brightness. Okay? That's studying the video and what's actually in it. So we can be sure, and based on the characters that are tied in with this, definitely there was a space device used to burn a hole through that platform. Clean through it.
Yeah.
So the evidence is overwhelming that was done intentionally, and to make the story more believable, they had to give us something that we could see with our own eyes, and then they created the story to support that, but it was all based on lies, and they probably didn't think anyone would go back and look at their original statements about when they began the well, when they announced the well, what the initial determinations were based on pressure and how much oil this would produce. They severely, grossly underestimated the amount that those wells or that general area, that Tiber Field, can produce in terms of total capacity. If it's self-replicating, it'll never stop.
All right.
So just keep
Again, it goes back again to Nicolas Cage's movie, that movie Knowing. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where he, just to refresh the audience's memory on that, you've got Nicolas Cage is this professor at a university, and he's got this anomalous series of string of numbers that he gets, and it's all a code system, ladies and gentlemen. As he's deciphering this code at midnight, here's this, you know, the TV blaring about this, and the camera pans to it like it's meaningful. This oil, huge oil explosion in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's you know, if I didn't know better, it's the same footage.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go back and watch that movie again. It's amazing how the story is almost word for word plays out.
Yeah, Knowing.
Yeah, Knowing's half the battle.
There's another story. I got an IM, some news from Russia that there are 8 nuclear plants about 350 miles west of Moscow which are burning. And there are some reports of smoke all over Finland. Of course, I've seen a few videos of people wearing masks in Moscow. Moscow looks horrible. So you're talking about toxic smoke, and Finland is on national alert. St. Petersburg is on standby, and if there's an evacuation order, it's going to be 100%. And anyone who's able to right now is leaving the area, fleeing the area for southern Russia. Is a message I'm getting. Don't know. I'll have to turn on CNN, right?
I guess. My goodness. Yeah. Hmm.
We heard about a lot of fires. I had heard at one point somebody mentioned 500 fires. Now, I don't know if that's there or exactly, you know, if this is going over borders into other countries. Have you heard anything on that yourself?
I haven't heard a word. No, I haven't. Don't know what to say on that one.
Wow. Well, I don't know what would have caused this, but it's certainly something to be concerned about. There's more radiation going to be flying through the wind and swept around the planet and up into the clouds and down into the rain. We're you know, and I'm not trying to fearmonger here. If this is all true, And we're getting this information from people we know there who are witnessing all this, then certainly something to take rather seriously.
Yep, we got to just quit. That's the message, you know, that they want to propagandize. We got to get rid of this black stuff. It's got to go. We got to just go with renewable, natural, green resources and enrich these Al Gores of the world.
Yes, and we all of a sudden we have this rash of oil spills all over the place.
Yeah, the one here in Utah, you know, the Chevron leak, you know, was pretty bad. What's going on? It's just suddenly all these pipes spring a leak. Interesting, isn't it?
All over the planet this is happening.
Yeah.
Not just in this country.
Well, yeah. Again, it goes back to the Rothschild plan of deception to wage war, and it's you know, there's a concerted effort to blackmail by poisoning, either whether it's a swine flu manufactured virus. You know, isn't that funny? That was all we were talking about last summer. But nobody in the media even gives a rip anymore about that. Why is that?
Oh, they're told not to. They're paid not to. Yeah. That's not part of the story. They don't want us knowing the truth about what's going on. Now, I'm also told that the Ukraine has opened their borders, and they're not requiring visas for people that are fleeing those areas in Russia that are being affected. And they're undergoing a drought. Now, this all could have been spurred on by wildfires. You know, we don't know what the cause is. I've been getting spotty reports on this topic over the past couple of days, and been working on other things. You know, you can't work on everything all at once. But certainly, you know, these people could use our prayers.
Oh, yeah, never hurts. Never hurts at all. Yeah, you know, it's a good point, Don, is why is all this happening just like dominoes, one after the other, where, you know, we never had any of this, at least publicly, going on. You know, this Mr. Crist, Bobby Crist, and his story, he runs those surface, you know, those robotic deep water submarines. And he has all this, he says, I've got literally thousands of hours of videotape showing these huge underwater, you know, spills of volcanoes. They're all natural, and it's been going on for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, more than likely. See, what's all of this is pointing to one thing. It's just bad publicity for oil to spike the price, make it rarer. You know, they capped the well in BP, and light sweet crude jumps $5 that day.
Well, you know, it's as though cap and trade is a pun, isn't it? You know, you cap the well. Okay, there's your cap. And the trade are the put options.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's for sure. And there, you know, who knows how many put options would be played out. And that's just on the Transocean stocks. What about all the other holdings of BP?
What kind of carbon credits should be assessed to the White House dog, Bo, because he's flown around in his own private jet?
Yeah, he's a water dog. You know, he gets to fly for free.
Oh, my goodness, the insanity. It just gets crazier and crazier. But I really think this is a sign of lots of things falling apart. Maybe by design, but all we have to do is recognize it and not panic. I think we're more gifted than that. Certainly more gifted than they give us credit for being. And, you know, I think whoever is awake is going to know what has to be done.
Well, every day that goes by is just an amazing spectacle. It really is, Don. And these poor excuses for human beings that continue to manipulate like they just have to do. I guess it's in their DNA. You know, like Vlad Sepes, Vlad the Impaler. I mean, it's in his DNA to torture and put on stakes thousands of his enemies. Golly, you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and the president's disclosure on The View that Congress and the Senate basically are using the reptilian side of their brain.
Yeah.
I guess that's on the side, but he didn't say which side, left or right.
With Obama, I think it's the whole brain.
but nonetheless, you know, making that statement and following it up with the war, the problem, we have two problems. We have to get out of Iraq, whatever that means. I tend to think it means somebody said, okay, time to get out of Iraq. And and he's just memorized the teleprompter line. And then the comment that warlords are trying to take over in Afghanistan. And there's the issue of terrorist associates. These aren't terrorists, regular old terrorists. These are terrorist associates.
You got your associate degree in terrorism. It means you just have a late night talk show, radio show. And that's what they call you, an enemy.
Oh, no, he was speaking about in Afghanistan. He wasn't talking.
Yeah, but it's interchangeable. I mean, Al-Qaeda is really LCIA. It's all a front. You know, it's nothing more than a scam. Again, the Washington Post series on Top Secret America, topsecretamerica.com, 860,000 people with top secret security clearance to survey, to have surveillance on 150 Al-Qaeda? Are you kidding me? That's like having a observatory like the Ott Planetarium here in Ogden to watch a mole digging his hole in a mountain. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Overkill. No, unless the moles are really the people that they deem to be a threat to their, you know, New World Order, then I guess they can justify calling us terrorists.
Yeah. Well, it's quite obvious to us who the terrorists really are, and we just have to keep saying it.
Yep. I'm from the government. I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Ott, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show. And we haven't talked about your website and your show. Give us that information, if you would, please.
Yeah, it's the show is A Story Behind the Story. It airs Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 on the West Coast, 10 to midnight on the East Coast. My website is simply www.atrutt.com. I just posted this piece on Dov Zakheim that came out. He announced his retirement from Booz Allen Hamilton.
Oh, my goodness.
Go read that on my website. Isn't that just peachy? He's going to be back and doing think tank and writing position papers like the, you know, attacking a new Pearl Harbor to justify the new American century. Project for a New American Century. He's one of the co-authors of that piece.
Yes.
I mean, this guy, to me, is the number one suspect as the mastermind of 9/11. Hey, the FBI hasn't got Osama bin Laden on their top 10 international criminal list because there's no evidence. I submit that there's more than enough evidence to put Dov Zakheim number one on that list.
Yeah, and I remember Donald Rumsfeld on the 10th making this announcement to Congress about 2.3 million, trillion, with a TR in front. But it was much more than that, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I think it was Cheney that made the press conference announcement, and Rumsfeld just kind of echoed onto it. But Cheney comes out and announces $2 plus trillion just unaccounted for in the Pentagon's budgeting, and the next day all of the evidence is gone, up in a puff of smoke. The 33 victims of the Pentagon cruise missile attack, all of these people were gathering the evidence of this international spy ring, and front and center, the Mossad being the main culprit, and the FBI's joint investigation working with the Pentagon just happened to be there at Building 7 in their offices, the mid-level offices. All of that's gone. Any smoking guns have been, buried in the ocean.
Well, there were a lot of crazy events that occurred after a Y2K, the dud of Y2K. And I suppose we can talk about that on some future shows sometime. Let's see what pans out.
Okay. But,
I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to encourage folks to go to themicroeffect.com Monday through Friday. West Coast time would be 7 p.m. Is that correct?
Yeah, 7 to 9 on the West Coast.
And 10 to midnight on the East Coast. And you folks in the middle know how to subtract an hour or two. Depending on where you are. Dr. Ott, I want to thank you, and I look forward to listening to your next episode of The Story Behind the Story. Who's your next guest?
We have Doug Millar is bringing on, it's kind of a secret right now. We haven't confirmed yet, but if he decides to come on, it'll be a huge show tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really want to have a lot of publicity right now, but... we'll see what happens. But it has to do with what you talked about the first part of the show, this these agents, provocateur. Look at their bloodlines, okay? Horowitz, Kane, that's, frankly, it's the Ashkenazi structures. And there's just... I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but there's too many problems. You get knighted, you make a big deal of it. Like, look at me, I'm a knight now, knighted into this. And then when the pressure gets on, when people start investigating what the Knights of Malta really are all about and the Club of Rome, and suddenly he says it's nothing like that at all. He distances himself from it. I got to tell you, Don, that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It's again by way of deception, thou shalt wage war.
Yeah, I will. Read this article and see what's revealed and what's said, and I'll reserve my opinion for then.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay.
And go to the website again. Learn about Dov Zakheim and the connections. Miss Kane called me, as you know, and wanted me to go officially on record with what Szymanski reported, and I basically said it was true. But I was speculating. It was 3 years ago, and why is it just now becoming an issue?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll leave it go at that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, and look forward to your show tomorrow night and also your visit to Evident Footprints next Monday.
Very good. You be safe, Don, and keep your chin up. And don't go attacking people like Don Harkins anymore, okay?
Yes. Yes, I'll, okay. I have to remind myself. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, stay home more often.
All right. You have a good night, folks. That wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Truat. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. And also, I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBSRadio.com, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be talk show host and author Charles Giuliani. Don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.